Lamentes Amar Aleph, six lines down from the top. We're talking about Orla in Chutz Loretz. And we studied on Daf Lamed Ches the fact that Orla in Chutz Loretz is only Osir Vadai, but if it's a Safek, then it's Mutter. The Gemara tells us, Omer Le Levi L'Shmuel, Aryoch. Levi turns to Shmuel, he calls him Aryoch. Aryoch is Miloshen Melech, because Talmidei Chachamim are considered like the Melochim, Man Malchi Rabbonon. Sapekli Va'ana Echul. Create a case of Safek Orla for me, and then I'll be able to eat from it. In other words, take fruits from Chutz Loretz, and I won't know which fruits you took. Don't tell me where you got it from. And for me, it'll be the suffix, whether it's Orla or not Orla. And suffix Orla in Chutz Loretz is Mutter, as long as I don't know. In this case, the less you know, the better. The Gemara goes on. Rav Avya V'Rabba Bar Rav Chanon Misapko Sapuke Lahadode. The word misapko is either a conjugation of the word safek, create a safek, they created a safek one for the other, or it's miloshin sipuk, they supplied a safek one for the other. And what they would do is, each one would provide for the other one a safek of peros orla, meaning for the one who received it, it was always a safek. Each one would collect fruits for the other one, wouldn't tell them where he got it from, and therefore become a safek orla. And it was mutter in Chutz Loretz. Amrei harifei defumpedisa, the sharp ones from the city of Pumpedisa, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, these are identified as Avimi and Epha, the sons of Rachva. They used to say, Ein Orla B'Chutz Loretz. In other words, Ev Mirabonon, there's no din of Iser Orla in Chutz Loretz. Shalcha Rav Yehuda L'Kame D'Rab Yochanan. These words were quoted, that were sent by Rav Yehuda to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was not thrilled about this. Sholach Lei, Rabbi Yochanan sent back a message to Rabbi Yehuda, Sitom Sfeika. Don't publicize the halacha of Safek Arla and Chutz Loretz. Don't publicize it. Don't be Dorish Barabin. V'abed Vada. And those fruits that are Vaday Arla, destroy them. Vachreis al peroseim, and you should declare with regard to those who are lenient regarding Orla's Chutz Loretz, as we saw the Harifei defumpedisa, she teunim gniza, that you should declare that any fruits that belong to those mekilim on Orla's Chutz Loretz should be hidden. Nobody should benefit from them. V'chola omer ein orla b'chutz loretz. Anyone who declares there's no orla in Chutz Loretz, lo yehelo nin v'neched mashlich chevel b'gorol b'kal Hashem. This is a pasuk in Micha. Micha says in Perek Beis, lachein lo yelecha mashlich chevel b'gorol b'kal Hashem. The pasuk is a reference to those who would steal from the orchards of others, and they would be oshke bate achirim. Oshek means they would embezzle, and the Navi put a whammy on them, a curse, that none of their offspring should receive a portion in the land when the Jewish people return to the land. Mashlich chevel begorol. Here too, Rabbi Yochanan says, a person who declares that there's no Orla in Chutz Loretz, he should have no heirs to inherit his portion in the land. The Inhu. And what about the Harifei Defumpedisa? Keman Savrua, who do they hold like when they say there's no din of Orla in Chutzlaretz, Ki Hadesanyo, like the author of the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Ben Durmaska, Sha'omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Sha'omer Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Sha'omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, Ein Orla b'chutzlaretz. There's no Orla at all in Chutzlaretz. So this tradition begins with Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara right away asks, "Velo, is that really true? Is it mean that Rabbi Eliezer does not maintain that there's Orla in Chutzlaretz? V'anan t'nan, we have in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Af HaChadosh. You may remember that there were two cases of a Chovas Karka mentioned in the Mishnah, which are singled out because they apply even in Chutzlaretz, and those are Orla and Kilayim. And on that, Rabbi Eliezer adds Chadosh. Now the word Af HaChadosh, would indicate that in addition to Orla and Kilayim, which apply in Chutzlaretz, so too Rabbi Eliezer wanted to add Chadosh to the list. So we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer admits to the Tanakhama that Orla and Kilayim apply even in Chutzlaretz. So how could Rabbi Eliezer be quoted here in this Braisa as saying that there's no Orla in Chutzlaretz? We have here a contradiction. So the Gemara says that in order to reconcile this and defend the integrity of the second Braisa, Tanei Chadosh, leave out the word Af in our Mishnah. Notice Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Orla and Chutzlaretz, and he adds Chadosh, he substitutes Chadosh for Orla. In the case of Chadosh, the Torah says in Parashas Emor B'chol Moshvos Seichem, and that teaches us that Chadosh applies even in Chutzlaretz, B'chol Moshvos Seichem, but Orla and Kilayim apply only in Eretz Yisrael and not beyond because of the rule of Chovas Karka. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer rejects the concept of Orla and Chutzlaretz. The Gemara now goes back to analyze Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Peros Chutzlaretz are Orla and Asurim. Om Rabbi Asi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Orla b'Chutzlaretz, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. What's the source for the Isur Orla and Chutzlaretz according to Rabbi Yochanan? It's Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Om Alei Rabbi Zeira l'Rav Asi, for Tanya, what do we do with the Braisa? Sofek Orla b'Oretz Asur, B'Suria Mutar. And in Chutzlaretz, it's even more than that. It's Yored v'Loket, as we discussed in the previous daf. So how could it be that on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan maintains that the Isa Orla and Chutzlaretz, Talach l'Mosh Misina, and yet on the other hand, in the case of Sofek, we have a Braisa that's Matir. How can you be Matir, a Sofek, Halach l'Mosh Misina, Halach l'Mosh Misina has the status of a Doraisa, and therefore Sofek Doraisa l'Chumra? When Rav Asi heard this question, he took an hour's break, and he was thinking, he was contemplating coming, trying to come up with an answer. And afterwards, Omar Leh, he told Rav Zera, Ema, Kach Nemar. We have to assume, therefore, going to Rabbi Yochanan, that the way this Halacha L'Mosh Misinai was received and transmitted was Sveika Muta, that only Vaday Orla in Chutzlaretz is Osir, Vada Osir, but not Sveika. That was the way the Halacha L'Mosh Misinai was handed down. And Rabbi Chaim Brisker in his Sefer, Chidush Rabbi Chaim Alevi al Rambam, goes back and forth to analyze the question, what's the status of Orla as a Halacha L'Mosh Misinai in Chutzlaretz? Is an extension of the Iser Orla in Eretz Yisrael? Just that as far as the written Torah is concerned, it says Ki Savol Aretz, it doesn't apply in Chutzlaretz, and the Iser of Chutzlaretz is derived from Halacha L'Mosh Misinai? Or is the Halacha L'Mosh Misinai creating a brand new entity, a brand new Iser? If it's extending the Iser Orla in the Iser Orla Doraisa in Eretz Yisrael, then you'd get Malkus for Orla's Chutzlaretz. If on the other hand it's a brand new Iser that's derived as an independent category from Halacha L'Mosh Misinai, then you would not get Malkus. And he says the fact that Sofek is Sofek Orla's Mutter in Chutzlaretz would seem to indicate that it's a separate entity. We go on in the Gemara. Omer Avasi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lokim al Kilayim Dvar Torah. Kilayim in Chutzlarts is Doraisa. And if one violates Kilayim, and he plants Kilayim in Chutzlarts, he gets Malkus, like any case of a person who violates a Lav Doraisa. Amalei, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Yossi turns to Ravasi and he says, V'anan t'nan ha-kelayim mi-divrei sofrim. Our mission indicates that kelayim in chutzot is only d'rabbonon. Lokasha kan v'klaya keren kan v'arkovas ha-ilon. If a person plants vegetables in a vineyard, in chutzot that's only d'rabbonon. What is the case of kelayim d'oraisin chutzlaretz, according to Rabbi Yochanan? What did Rabbi Yochanan have in mind? Harkovas ha'ilon. If a person grafts a branch from one tree onto another tree, and they're from two different minim of ilonos, in such a case he violates an isa d'oraisa even in chutzlaretz. So kelayim in chutzlaretz d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for which you get malchus, that's a case of Harkovas Ha'ilon. Kiddush Shmuel. And this concept, Harkovas Ha'ilon and Chutzlarts is an Isa Doraisa, is reflected and by Shmuel and derived from a pasuk in Chumash. The Omar Shmuel, Shmuel analyzes the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. It says, Behem Techolo Sarbia. That's the Isa Kilayim. And the pasuk opens with Eschu Kosai Tishmoru. This is a very unusual opening to a parsha. For example, elsewhere in the Torah we have Ushmartem es chukosai. Here it says es chukosai tishmoru. And the drasha is chukim shechakakti lecha kvar. In other words, when he starts by saying es chukosai, he's referring to chukos that were given even before the Torah, and they were addressed to Bnei Noach. And in fact, if you take a look in the Yerushalmi and Kilayim, it says chukim shechakakti le'odam arishon. Even Adam Arishon was given this chok of Kilayim. We'll see which Kilayim in just a second. And this is derived from the pasuk at the beginning of the Torah, when the Torah describes the creation of the various parts of the vegetation. It says liminehu, and that also refers to behemos. Liminehu means to maintain the various species as they were created by Hashem, and that engenders an iser kelayim that applies even to a ben Noach. And therefore, it seems from Shmuel, we can derive the following conclusion, that Bnei Noach were commanded on what we call Harbas Behema, to crossbreed animals, Farkovas Kilayim, and crossbreed Zeroim. The only problem is that we have seven mitzvahs, Shenitztavu Ben Bnei Noach. How do we reconcile the number seven with this Shita of Shmuel, who adds to Isurei Kilayim to the Isurei Bnei Noach? That has to be addressed. But getting back to Shmuel, Shmuel says, Chukim shechachak chakakti lecha kvar. And the pasuk says, Tishmoru. You should observe those chukim that were given to Bnei Noach called Kilayim. And what are they? The Torah specifies, Behem techolo sarbiya kilayim, sod cholo tizra kilayim. So there's a smichus here between Klai Behema and Lotizra Kilayim, the Isur of Zrias Kilayim. So we're going to derive Zrias Kilayim from Klai Behema, Klai Behema. And what is Zrias Kilayim that was prohibited to Bnei Noach? Yizma Behemtcha Beharba, Avsodcha Beharba. In the case of the Isur Klai Behema to a Ben Noach, which is now being given to Israel, we're talking about Harbas Behema. You take two species of animals and you crossbreed them. That's indicated in this pasuk, Behemtcha Lo Sarbiya Kilayim. And Sodcha is also a case of hakava, which means that you're not allowed to plant in your field kilayim. It means hakavas shnei minim zebaze. Just like we had in the case of harbas behemah, we have hakavas shnei minim. What is hakavas shnei minim? That's the case of hakavas ilon. And why is that so? The answer is that if you take one branch of a tree and you graft it on to a branch of another tree, and they're two different minim, they become one entity, one guf. That's not true when you plant zroim or you plant yirokos in a kerem. They always remain two different minim. There's no what we call tarovas beguf, miguf leguf. It does become one entity, one guf. But rather, zruim, they are planted, smichus, zelazeh, one near the other. So our kavas ilan is this unique case where you create one single entity by grafting one onto the other. And that's similar to the case of behemah, where you're marbia two behemos from two different minim, and you get a behemah, which is guf echad mishnei minim, ma behemtecha, and we go on. And we derive another halacha from this equation. Noeg bein ba'aretz ubein b'chutz la'aretz. The iser of kelai behema applies as any chovas aguf even chutz la'aretz. Av sodcha, so to this iser kelayim in a sadeh, which applies to our kovas ilanos, is noeg bein ba'aretz ubein b'chutz la'aretz. This is what Rabbi Yochanan meant, and Shmuel explains it when he said that kelayim in chutz la'aretz is doraisa. And it in fact engenders a chiyuv malchus. V'ela haksiv sadcha. The strange thing is it says in the pasuk sadcha lo tizra kelayim. Now sadcha implies Eretz Yisrael. Karka in Eretz Yisrael is called sadcha. It's as if you really own it. Eretz Yisrael is a land that's miyuchedes l'bnei Yisrael. It's specifically and exclusively designated to the people of Israel as a divinely given gift. And that's called sodcha. Karka that you own in Chutz La'aretz is only a temporary transient kind of kinyan, Rashi explains. It's a kinyan aroi. And therefore, it doesn't come directly from the hands of Shamayim. It's not called sodcha. So how do we reconcile with the fact that we've derived that kelayim in Chutz La'aretz is doraisa with the word sodcha? Hahu, we need the word sadcha limeute zroim shebechutz laretz. Meaning we're talking about zria bekerem, kloya kerem, and that doesn't apply in chutz laretz. In other words, the Torah writes the Isra of Karas Elon in the pasuk beloshin zria sadcha lo tizra, and this language, which would apply to kilaya kerem, that's the zria aspect, because in the case of harkavas ilon, that method of kilaya means harkava, but here we're talking about zria. Zria means when you plant vegetables, let's say, in a vineyard, and here the Torah says lo tizra, the Torah says sodcha, and that's coming to exclude kilaya kerem in Chutz La'aretz. That there's no Klai Kerem in Chutz La'aretz. Harkovas Elon, which is equated to Klai Behem, applies Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'Chutz La'aretz, by virtue of the equation to Klai Behem, which is a Chovas Aguf, and applies even in Chutz La'aretz. Rav Hanan v'Rav Hanan, Havishakli v'Ozli bi'urcha. The Gemara tells us a story about these two Amoraim. They were on the way in Chutz La'aretz on the Derech, and Chazua Lahu Gavra, they noticed a certain individual, the Kozora Zroim Bahadi Adodi, who was violating the Isur of Lechora Kilayim in Chutz La'aretz. But again, it was a case of being Zorea Shnei Minim. This is not the case that we were speaking about in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference of Harkovas Ilonos. Orale, Sir Rav Hanan turns to Rav Hanan and he says to him, Naisei mar neshamte? I think mar, meaning you, Rav Hanan, should put this person into cherem. give him a whammy. Why? Because he violated the laws of Chachamim regarding Klai Zeroyim. And it would seem from this Gemara that although Klai Zeroyim are not Doraisa in Chutzos, but nevertheless they are Darabonon. And he, this individual that we're witnessing, is violating these of the Rabbanim, deserves to be put into Cherem, into Nidui at least. Amale, Rav Hanan responds, Lo Chavrisu means it's not clear to them. In other words, the laws of Kalayim were not clarified. There's a lot of ambiguity. And Klai Yisroim are also in a Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chachamim only prohibited, I'm sorry, the prohibition of Klai Yisroim was only rabbinically prohibited in Chutz Laretz, and this was a little bit unclear to them. It sounds like he's trying to, in a sense, established that they did not deserve to be put into Nidui. This was not some sort of flagrant and deliberate violation of an Issur Darabanan. There's no rebellion here, but rather there's misunderstanding. So the Gemara tells another story again of Rav Hanan and Rav Hanan walking on the pathways of Chutz Laretz. Chazyu lahu gavra dekazora chiti usiori bei gufne. He was planting wheat and barley between the various lines of the vines in the vineyard. And this would constitute an Iser Kilayim of Klai HaKerem. And this was going on, again, in Chutz Laretz. Amalei Rav Hanan turns to Rav Hanan, he says, Nesi Mar Neshamte, let's put them into Cherem. Amalei Rav Hanan responds, Lo Tzar Risu. The halachas are not clear. They don't radiate and shine. And the people are not experts in halacha. And it could be that here he's implying that even Rav Hanan is making a mistake. Why? He says, Lo kaimalon kerav Yoshia diomar ad sheyizrach. This you read as a rhetorical question. Lo kaimalon kerav Yoshia. Don't we pass like Rav Yoshia diomar? He says about Klai HaKerem in Eretz Yisrael. Now going back to the Doraisa of Klai HaKerem, is that you're not chayev ad sheyizra chita usiora vechartzon b'mapolis yad. You have to plant together at one act of zriya, a wheat, barley, and grapes. But if there's already a vineyard that's growing, it's a given, that's the mitzvah, that's the reality, and now he wants to add Zeroyim and plant them, that you're not chayef for in Eretz Yisrael. And since in Eretz Yisrael you're not chayef for it, meaning it's not a Doraisa, then in Chutzos they never even made a Gzera on it. So again, there's a case of Zarua Bekerem, and Zarua Bekerem, where he adds to a Kerem by planting wheat and so forth, that's not usur at all, Dirabana, because even in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chiv minat Torah. Rav Yosef me'orev bizrane, he mixed different types of zeroyim of seeds, vizara, and he planted them together in a field in Chutz Laretz. Omer le'abai, v'anan t'nan ha'kelayim midirei sofrim, the kelayim are prohibited in Chutz Laretz midirabanan. Amalei Rav Yosef defended himself. He said, Lo kasha, kan b'klai HaKerem, kan b'klai Yisroim. Those kelaim that are prohibited, midrabanan in Chutz Laretz, are klai HaKerem. And here, my situation is klai Yisroim. And klai Yisroim are mutter in Chutz Laretz, even midrabanan, there was no Iser. And now Rav Yosef tries to clarify the difference between Klai HaKerem and Klai Yisroim. Why did the Chacham make this Gzeir in Chutz Laretz with regard to Klai HaKerem, but not with regard to Klai Yisroim? Klai HaKerem Diba Oretz Asurim Ba'no. The Torah is more machmir in Eretz Yisrael with regard to Klai Akerem, engendering an Isra Anah, is therefore the Chutzot Nami Gozer, but the Rabbanan took the lead of the Torah, and they would be Machmir in Klai Akerem and Chutzot. But Klai Yisroim to Baaretz Lo Asiri Ba'anah, there's no Isra Anah with regard to Klai Yisroim, different seeds that were planted together, even in Eretz Yisrael, which is Doraisa, there's no Iser Hanah, the Iser is only the Zriya. Is Bechutzar Tznami Lo Gozru Barbonon, the Rabbonon did not go and extend and establish any sort of an Iser the Rabbonon of Klai Yisroim in Chutzlaretz. It's sort of like Tosa at the beginning of Pesachim with regard to chametz. Why do we find the Rabbanon? You have to do bdikas chametz because the Torah itself led the charge here and was more machmir and chametz than other isurim. Hadar Amar Rav Yosef. Now Rav Yosef, out of intellectual honesty, he changes his mind and retracts his original position. Lav Milsehi Diomri. What I said to you before, that Klai Yisroim on Mutter and Chutzlaretz, and there was never Gzeirut Rabbanon, that's incorrect. Lav Milsehi. De Rav Zora Ginosa de Bei Rav. Rav actually planted a garden for the Talmidim in the yeshiva, so that they could eat the vegetables that would grow in that garden. Mishare. He would plant it in rows, and each type of a zera would be planted in its own aruga, in its own row. And Rav Yosef explains, why did Rav do it that way deliberately? He says, my taima, isn't it so? Lav, mishum, eruv, Eruve Kelayim. He was worried about Minei Zroim, about combining two different Zroim. In other words, even though it was in Chutzlaretz, Rav was of the opinion that there's an Issa Derabbanan in Chutzlaretz, not only with regard to Klai Akerem, because this was not a case of Kerem, but even with regard to Klai Zroim. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says that what you, Rav Yosef, brought a raya from Rav, that's not a raya at all. Bishlema Iyashminan, if Rav would have told us a Chidush, that he would take many different Zeroim and plant them in one aruga, in one row, and he would be careful to make a revach, to make a space between one min and the other so that they don't nourish, from the anika underground. Like, for example, let's say arba al arba ruchos haruga. There would be four types of Zeroim in four different sides of the Aruga, the Achas Bamtza, and he would place a Zriya in the middle of an Aruga Shapir. We would derive from such a Minog that there's an Iser Kelaye Klai Zeroim, even in Chutzlaretz, because he was mocked. But Me'achar V'lo Hikpid Lezaram Yachad Baruga Achas is Afal Bikain Hikpid Shu Zeroim B'derech Hamuteres. He was choshesh for an Iser Kelayim. Elohach, but here, what's the case? What did Rav do? He was orea each min aruga separately. And it's very possible, mishum noi, that the reason he did it was not for careful, but not because he was worried about some sort of Iser of Zriyas Kelayim, but rather for beauty purposes. Inami mishum tircha deshama, because the shamash who would work and till and take care of these arugos would be able to do an easier job if each aruga of each zera was separate. Now we learn the Mishnah, and the Mishnah talks about mitzvos. We're on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Kala Osa Mitzvah Achas Metivin Lo Umarichin Lo Yomav V'Nochel Es Haaretz. A person who achieves one mitzvah will be rewarded not only in this world, which is mitivilo marichin lo yomav, but even nochel es haaretz, even in the next world. Kol she'eino osa mitzvah achas, ein mativin lo v'ein marichin lo yomav, v'eino nochel es haaretz. The Gemara is going to have to explain what this means. Eino osa mitzvah achas, as if to say he forfeits all this reward in this world and the next because he's not fulfilling one mitzvah. What does that mean? The Gemara asks the following stira. The Mishnah seems to imply that any mitzvah that a person achieves, he merits a double reward, one in this world and one in the next. We have a contradiction from a Mishnah at the beginning of Peah, which seems to imply that there are certain mitzvahs that are singled out as mitzvahs which engender reward in this world and the next. It's not a universal rule that any mitzvah that you do, it's specific mitzvahs that were pinpointed. And this Mishnah, of course, is very familiar to us. We recite it every day. Elu dvarim shonam ochel peruseim bol mazeh v'akeren kayemes olam abo v'elu hein kibud avoeim k'vilus chasodim achnosus orchim avo sholom bein olam l'chaverus olam tor k'nege kulam. We have an entire list of mitzvahs that are enumerated here in this Mishnah at the beginning of Peah. These are the unique mitzvahs that are so profound and so powerful, and they engender such a great, immense reward that a person will receive both this world and the next world. And the implication clearly is that any mitzvahs beyond this list do not have the power and the profound nature to engender such a double reward. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can reconcile this. In truth, any mitzvah that a person does, that's called Osa Mitzvah Achas in our Mishnah, is he will not be rewarded with these fruits in this world. Hachikomer, what our Mishnah means is Kol Osa Mitzvah Achas Yisera Al Zchuyosav. When does a person gain this world through a single mitzvah, and it could be any mitzvah, that's a case of a person whose zchuyos and chovos, his assets and his deficits in the balance sheet, shkulim heim keneged ze keneged ze, he's absolutely in a situation of 50-50, and now he has to tip the scales in favor of zchus, in favor of merit, is then mativin lo, he will enjoy a reward in this world. It's almost like someone who fulfilled the entire Torah. Why? Because now he's in a situation of rov maisim zchuyos, and therefore he's judged as a person who's mekayim the entire Torah. And he's considered a tzaddik, and therefore he's zochet to both this world and the next. That's the subject of our Mishnah. It's a unique situation, a case in which a person is balanced in his merits and his deficits. The Gemara now asks the following question, Michlal. Now you derive the conclusion from the Mishnah that with regard to mitzvahs in general, not the specific mitzvahs that we mentioned in Peah, is the Hanach afilu b'chadanami, that the unique nature of the mitzvahs that are enumerated in the Mishnah in Peah are such that if he only has one of those mitzvahs, even if his rov is in favor of avonos, nevertheless he will be zocher to have great life in this world. And that's not logical at all. Meaning, what are you telling me? You're telling me that if he's equal, then any mitzvah will tip the scale in favor of zchus and he'll be zocher to olam hazeh. Implying that the unique nature of those mitzvahs, kibud av and avos shalom, etc., etc., are such that even if he's not equally balanced, but rather he's in a situation of rov averos, nevertheless, one of those mitzvahs can somehow bring him all the way to the other side, and he becomes like a tzaddik, and he'll be zocher to the reward of this world. That doesn't make sense. Omar av Shmaya. That which it says in the Mishnah in Peah, that a person who's mekayim these specific mitzvahs, he eats the peros in this world, lomar shim hoisa shkula machras. That if he's in a situation where his chuyos and his chovos are equal, he's equally balanced, then one of these mitzvahs tips the scale, and he now has what we call kaf schus, and therefore have goodness in this world, even though he didn't do any other additional mitzvahs.
So the Gemara asks right away, V'chalaosa mitzvah achas yisera al schliosov mativin lo, are you telling me that if he does one extra mitzvah and tips the scale in favor of schlios, then he's rewarded even in this world, uraminu? What about the brisa that says kol she schliosov meruvim me'afanosov marian lo? If his chuyos are merubin, are a little bit more than his avonos, then he won't enjoy any benefits in this world. V'dome k'misha saraf kol haTorah kula v'lo shir mimena afilos achas. He's going to be judged in this world as if he chas v'shalom burnt the Torah and he left nothing behind. Chol avonosav meruvim v'schuyos. If he has more avonos than schuyos, mativin lo, then he'll be paid up for his meager amount of schuyos in this world. V'doma k'mi shekiyim es kol haTorah v'lo chiser os mimena. So we see basically that the approach of reward and punishment in the divine realm of justice is just the opposite of what you said. That if he has many schuyos, he's going to suffer in this world for his miut avonos. If he has many avonos, he's going to be rewarded for his miut schuyos in this world. And now the Gemara seems to make an about face in terms of how to understand mativin v'ein mativin. It's not the way we understood it, that it's good for him or it's not good for him in this world. Amar Abaye Masnisa, our Mishnah, that formulates the principle that a person who does one mitzvah is mitivin lo b'olam hazeh. That's the Avdin Le Yom Tav. They prepare for him, this is his reward, a Yom Tav, a Yom Tov. Meaning, they punish him in this world for those miut, for those minority sins that he's guilty of. And then as a result of that punishment in this world, he has a yontif that's designated for him in the next world. He'll receive his reward in the next world, like a tzaddik gomur, who has no averis at all. The yom bish, and when the Mishnah says that if he doesn't do a mitzvah, a single mitzvah, ein mativin lo, it means yom bish. It means that as far as the next world is concerned, he's going to have a bad day, so to speak, which figuratively means that they're going to pay him up for the miut of his mitzvahs in this world, so that in the next world, there'll be badness, evil waiting for him because of his rov avonos. Rava offers a different answer to reconcile the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rava Omar, as far as what we said, interpreting mativin and ein mativin, we go back to our simple, straightforward understanding that if a person does one mitzvah, he'll get his schar in this world. A person who does an avera will get punished in this world. Everything is now in this world. What about the brisa that says that Mariam ba'olam hazeh, a person who has most of these zechuyos, will suffer in this world? Mani, that reflects the shita of Rabbi Yaakov. The Omar, Rabbi Yaakov is of the opinion that schar mitzvah b'hai alma leka, that there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Tisanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, ein lecha kol mitzvah sheksuva b'torah shematan schara b'tzida. We have no mitzvah where the Torah itself reveals what the reward is. She'ein t'chias ha'mesim t'luyaba. What does it mean, she'ein t'chias ha'mesim t'luyaba? That schar is going to be related to t'chias ha'mesim. But now he's saying it ain't t'chias ha'mesim t'luyaba. What does the ain mean? Again, t'chias ha'mesim t'luyaba means that the reward is dependent upon t'chias ha'mesim. But he says, "Ein tchias ha'mesim tuliyim ba," which means a person is not going to receive his schar in this world. It means that the schar is hanging, so to speak, is suspended until the time of tchias ha'mesim. And now he explains
what that means, that there's no tashlum schar in this world. Bekibud avayim ksiv, it says, kabedes avich vesimecha loman yarichon yomech loman yitavloch. Or, for example, shiluach hakan, it says, shaleach tashalach sayim vesabodim tikach loman yitavloch varach teyomim. And we would interpret these verses, kipshuto, on a simple level, that he'll have a long life, longevity in this world. Haresha omer lo aviv, alei lebira, vehavei li gozlos. If a person would be mekayim both the mitzvah of kibud av and the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, and yet olo lebira v'shiliach hasayim, he fulfilled both mitzvahs, not al esabonim, he takes the children after shiluach haem to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av, so he filled both mitzvahs. Ubechaziroso, on his way down from this high place, nafal v'mes, he fell and he died. Is you'll ask me, heichan tovas yomim shel zeh? What the Torah says, that leman yitav loch, leman yarichun yomechun, both these mitzvahs, he did both these mitzvahs and he died. So how do you explain that? Is the answer is, heichan arichus yomim shel zeh, when the Torah promises arichus yomim, varach te yomim, eleman yitav loch, liolam shekulo tov, the leman yitav loch is a reference to the next world, because in this world there's no schar. Leman yarichun yomecha liolam shekulo aruch. And when the Torah says in the parasha of Shiluach Hakein, it says varach te yomim, it's referring to olam shekulo aruch, the next world, not to this world. The Gemara asks a question: what forced you to Tchias HaMeisim, to introduce here that we're talking about Tchias HaMeisim, that this is a source for Tchias HaMeisim? Dilma lav hochi hava. Perhaps since the Torah promised Arichas Yomim, it means that if a person fulfills Shiluach HaKan or Kibud Av HaEim, or both, certainly he will not suffer this tremendous tragedy of death. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yaakov, Maisa Chaza. Rabbi Yaakov was not just theoretically talking, describing a possibility, but he actually saw such a situation of a person who was on his way down from the ladder, having fulfilled on a high place Shiluach Ha'em, and he was bringing gozos to his father to be Mekayim Kibud Av, and he died on the way down. And that's why he was forced to reinterpret the pasuk, because of what he witnessed, as meaning that all the reward is designated for the next world. V'dilma maharba v'erahavi. How do you know what was in the mindset of that person? Maybe that person who fell off the ladder had hirhurim. In his heart he had hirhurim, and he was planning to do some sort of an avera. He wasn't intending, his intentions were not pure l'shem shamayim, and that's why he fell out. How do you know how to judge him? Perhaps had he done the mitzvah without any machshevas avera, any onami, he would be zocha to long life in this world. The Gemara answers, it cannot be that he fell off the ladder and he died because of machshevas avera and hirhurim. Why? Because we have a principle, machshava roi nakadosh baruch hu matzarfal maisa, that thoughts and schemes, even though they're evil, are not considered like maisa to bring an onesh in this world. And therefore, since he shouldn't have been punished even if he had a hirhurei avera, the reason why he was punished is because when the Torah promises arichas yomim for these mitzvahs, it's a reference to the next world. The Gemara is still upset with this. V'dilma, perhaps, mahar b'avodas kochavim hava. Maybe, perhaps, he's planning to violate the Isra Avodah Zorah when he goes up this ladder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the case of Avodah Zorah, is mitzaref machshava l'maisa, and here is considered as if he worshipped an Avodah Zorah. And this is derived from a pasuk, Ukiksiv, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel, Anavi l'man tfos es beis Yisrael belibam, tofsu beis Yisrael belib machshava. When Bnei Yisrael had a machshava belibam, in their hearts, we're not talking about a maisa, but they had machshavas planning avodah zarah. and the Navi promises that they will be punished. Maybe this individual who fell off the ladder was punished because he had such thoughts. But a person who doesn't have such thoughts, planning Avodah Zarah, he will certainly merit long life in this world. So the Gemara answers, Iyu Nami Hachim, Rabbi Yaakov also said this, Isal Kedaitach Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma. If you think that if you assume that there is Schar Mitzvah in this world, Amai Lo Agin Mitzvah Salei, why didn't the mitzvos that he performed protect him, the lolaisi lidei hir, protect him spiritually, fortify him in such a way that Chashomi would not be mahara on avodah zarah? So again, it's very possible that you would like to say that he fell to his death from the suah because of hirhurei avodah zarah, but that makes sense only if you assume that schar mitzvah ayalma lek, if you have schar mitzvah in this world, then it would mean that the mitzvah itself would protect him. He would be able to overcome and dispel the power of the avodah zarah. He wouldn't be allured to violate the isur of hirhurei avodah zarah. So why didn't the mitzvahs protect him from this hirhurei avodah zarah? The only conclusion that we can have is that there's no such thing as schar mitzvah in this world, only in the next world. And therefore, in this world, even when he's involved in a mitzvah, he may indeed have herhurim of avodah zarah. The Gemara is now raising an objection on the story of the person who fell from the ladder. Even if I assume that there's no schar mitzvah in this world, how is it possible that he fell from the sulam while he was being osek in these two great mitzvos? He was a shliach of his father to bring the gozlos, and his halach of shliach mitzvah. Va'amar Abelazar, we have a principle in Masechet Pesachim and elsewhere: shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. So again, the Gemara doesn't want to assume that since he had hirhurim of avodah zarah, that would undermine this principle of shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. The shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin would apply. In any event, the Gemara Pesachim derives this principle from Lo Yachmod Ish Etz Arzacha Baloscha Liros Es Pnei Hashem Elkecha Shalosh Pom B'Shana. In other words, he would go up to the Beis Hamikdash three times a year, and no one would take away his land while he was gone. In a sense, he left it off Hefker, and yet he was protected. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, when do we apply the principle of Shluchei Mitzvah Nizokim? That's only Behali Chasam, on the way to a mitzvah. That's shiny. That's considered Shluchei Mitzvah Einam Nizokim. He's on the derech, he's on the road to fulfill a mitzvah. And then the mitzvah will protect him from harm. And possibly the mitzvah will protect him from harm in two ways. A physical harm and even spiritual harm. However, once he completes the mitzvah, even though he's going back to where he started from, he's going back to location X from which he departed, nevertheless, he's no longer considered a shliach mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't protect him. And therefore, once he was mekayim in the mitzvah shiluach ha'em, and he took the gozlos, the ma'aseh of mitzvah was complete, he's no longer shliach mitzvah, and therefore it's quite possible that he would fall from a ladder on his way down. It's b'derech hazarosam, and he's no longer protected by the mitzvah shiluach hakan. What about the mitzvah of kibud av ha'em? I mean, after all, he's bringing the gozels to his father, and now he's on the derech, he's on the halicha derech. We're going to have to assume that k'shohaya dayan al abira zogak es ha'gozels li'ofif, that he was up on the ladder and he sent the gozels to his father. And then he came down after he was Messiah that mitzvah. The Gemara asks the question of Omar Abelazar, Shluchei Mitzvah Nizokim Lo Ba'ali Chasam V'Lo B'Chazi Rasam. Rabbi Elazar went on record as saying that the protection of a mitzvah applies not only on his way to the mitzvah, but even on the way back. And then we don't understand, once again, how is it possible that he died on the way back, on the return trip from the mitzvah? And even if he was Mahar B'Avodah Zarah, Nevertheless, the mitzvah would still protect him because of the power of Shluchei Mitzvah Nizakin. So the Gemara answers, Sulam Ra'ua Hava. The Kviya Hezeka, V'chol Hecha, the Kviya Hezeka, Lo Samchinen Anisa, when it's a Mokom She Motsui, Shkiach, or Bari Hezeka, then the metaphysical and supernatural protection that's afforded by a mitzvah is no longer applicable. And that's derived from a pasuk to Siv in Shmuel. It says, when Hashem told Shmuel that he should go to Beis Lechem, and there he should anoint David HaMelech with the Shemen HaMishcha as the king of Israel. Vayomer Shmuel, and Shmuel responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Eilech, how can I go? V'shom HaShol V'haragoni. Shmuel will find, Shol HaMelech will find out about it, that I'm going to replace him by anointing David as Melch Yisrael in his place. Shaul will no doubt kill me. Now, here, Shmuel gets a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something, and he's claiming that he will die. He's in a very dangerous, precarious situation, even though he's a shliach of Hashem. And the answer is, because it's Kvi Hezeka, something where nature could almost predict that he's going to be injured. In such a case, there's no Samchinan al Nisa that you can rely on a miracle. Amar Rav Yosef, Il mole darshe acher lahai krok, Rabbi Yaakov bar brate, if acher, that's Elisha ben Avuya, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, if he had interpreted this pasuk of Laman Yitav Loch Varachta Yomim the way that Rabbi Yaakov interpreted it, then Lo Chata, he wouldn't have sinned. The Gemara says, V'acher Maihu, what did Acher see that he sinned? Ika Diyami, according to one opinion, Ki Hai Gavnachos. He actually saw a case similar to the case that Rav Yaakov saw, in which a son who was Mekayim Ashlichus for his father to bring Gozos fell and died. And Acher made a mistake and he thought that there is no Schar at all. Otherwise, if there would be Schar, why would it be that this young man died? Ika Diyami, according to second Lishna the Chutzvus HaMeturgaman Chaza, Chutzvus HaMeturgaman is one of the Arugi Malchus, and he saw David Goralei Dover Acher, that after Chutzvus HaMeturgaman was put to death cruelly by the Romans, the Chazir, this low swine, was carrying his tongue, Omar, Pesha Hefik Mergolios, Shialachlech Ofar. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains silent and allows the tongue of such a holy person who spoke Mergolios? He taught and transmitted the beautiful jewels of Torah, and now it's being dragged into the Ofar. Nofak Chati went out to Tabisra and he denied Hashem. Rami, Rav Tuvi Bar Rav Kisna L'Rava, Rami asked a stira to Rava. I'm sorry, Rav Tuvi, I meant to say, asked the stira to Rava. Tnan, in our Mishnah, it says, Kolosu Mitzah Achas Metivin Lo. It means he'll have Arichas Yomim. Asa in, if he fulfills the mitzvah, yes. Lo Asa, apparently. Even if he didn't violate an Avera, lo. He doesn't get Tzchak. We're a mini, but what about a brisa that says Yosha v'lo ofer avera? If a person passively overcomes the temptation to do an avera, nosim lo schar kosa mitzvah. Even though he didn't actively pursue a mitzvah, nevertheless, since he prevented himself from violating an avera, he's considered as if he did a mitzvah, and nosim lo schar. Amalei Rav answered Rav Tuvi, Hasam. There, the brisa is talking about a case that we give schar to a person who refrains from, overcomes any temptation to do an avera, and we give him schar like an osa mitzvah kagon, shebod varavera liyado v'nitzol emena, that the Eitzahara was getting the best of him, alluring him to violate an avera, and yet he overcame that temptation. That's a great mitzvah. And now the Gemara quotes a number of situations and stories of various Amoraim who had a tremendous temptation, like we saw by Yosef HaTzadik with Eishes Potifar, and nevertheless they were able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Ki Hod Rab Chanina Bar Popi Tavate Ahimach Nusa, a very significant woman of the Malchus, of the kingship, of the non-Jewish kingship, demanded an immoral act with her. And in order to save himself from her, Omar, Rab Chanina, Bar Papi, Milsa, he whispers, Umali Nafshe Shchina Vekiva. And as a result of this lachash, again, some sort of, I don't know what, his body became full of shchin, of psoim, and the pus was coming out of these various infected, terrible psoim, these open wounds, so to speak. And now he became absolutely repulsive in the eyes of the Matronisa, so that she would no longer demand of him an act. Of the Himilsa, but she also did some sort of a magical performance, a kishuv, the itase, and Rabbi Chanina became healed of his shchin, of his psoim. When Rabbi Chanina realized that, Orak Tosha Bahu Bebani, he ran away and he hid in a bathhouse where there are many mazikim. There were so many powerful mazikin there in that place that even when two people came in, normally the mazikin cannot overcome two people, and even during the day the mazikin usually have power at night, nevertheless they would be mazikin. And a miracle occurred, and Rav Chanina was saved from these mazikin. Lemachar, when his friends met him, Amru le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say to Rav Chanina, Man Natrach, who protected you from the Mazikin? Amru lehu, Rav Chanina responded, and here we're on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, Shnei Nosei Klei, I'm sorry, Nosei Klei HaKesar Shmaruni Kol HaLaila. Two of the Nosei Kesar, of the members of the High Court of the Caesar, would protect me through the night. Amru Le, the Rabbanan said to Rav Chanina, Shemadvar Erva Boliotcha Venitzalta Imenu. It must be that you had a miracle because you were tempted by Erva, by some sort of immoral act, and you overcame the temptation. The Tanina, we have a brisa called Abodvar Erva Liyoda Venitzal Imenu. Osim Lo Nes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle for him. And Amir Tz Hashem will continue this tomorrow here on Daf Mem Omidah.